Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 12 of Season 7 of Movie on Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is David Brook of Blueprint Review. Welcome back to the show, David.
Hello, good to be back. Yes, we're still on the street, and John McClane.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Only till the end of today's minute, but we'll
True, yeah.
Minute 12 begins with John explaining the situation and ends with Zeus trying to intervene and rescue the what's going on. I'll have to wait and see what that means. So we ended things at a great point because you know the gang that's the street gang has finally figured out that something strange is going on and they're ready to walk over. Try and find out why this crazy guy is standing on the street corner with a very interesting sandwich board on him. So we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. So as they're walking over towards them, so John, you know, says to Zeus, he goes, "Listen, I'm a cop. I'm on a case." And Zeus goes, "What?" He goes, "Somebody blew up Ronald Teller's an hour ago. Did you hear about that on the news?" "Yeah." Then John says, "The same man that did that said, I got to come to Harlem and do this or he's going to blow up something else. Do you understand?" And, I mean, Zeus doesn't really grasp what's going on. You know, he's not really connected to all that. He's not connecting to what John's talking about.
It's a bizarre thing to suddenly take on board again.
Yeah. No, and what's really interesting is looking at this movie now, when you know we're post 9/11, but this movie is pre 9/11.
Yeah, true.
So you'd think that if this situation was happening today, someone like Zeus would be more in the know than not.
Although I don't think terrorists don't often do these kind of bizarre, Simon says, kind of wandering around in neighborhoods with offensive signs and things. But yeah, I know what you mean. I guess the bombings and stuff will be. Some of the people might be more clued up, although there were terrorist attacks before 9/11. Obviously, there's the, my brain, I'm trying to think of the names of them, but they, the Olympics ones.
Boston.
Oh, yeah, Boston.
The Boston Marathon
bomb. Oh, that was later, though, wasn't it? No, I'm thinking of earlier ones.
Oh, you're talking about, the bombing in Atlanta hadn't happened yet.
Oh, right.
But when this movie came out, this movie was actually almost pushed off because it was released less than a month after the Oklahoma City bombings.
Oh, really? Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And they were debating whether, you know, because of a bomb, you have to push the movie off. And I guess they decided not to. And, you know, but again, Zeus and John don't know about the Oklahoma City. No. You know, because the time this was filmed, that hadn't happened yet either. So, you know, it's an interesting way to look at it from that perspective. You know, you know, people are not thinking that there's going to be, you know, of how to react to a terrorist attack or something like that. You know, because again, when you blow up a department store, so obviously your first thought, at least today, will be terrorist attack. And, you know, back then they probably thought about it too. I mean, they did have the first World Trade Center bombing in 94, the year before this, but that was on a much smaller scale. Yeah, so I don't know. Because they never tell us in the movie how many people died in the bombing in Bonham and Teller.
No.
You know, we in the script, we talked about the fact that there were, you know, they have part of it going on inside of there. So we know that there's a saleswoman and a woman who's buying stuff that get killed. But beyond that, they don't say like, you know, that the bomb caused 40 deaths or something like that. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, no.
And I mean, Zeus is looking at him and he's not really sure what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, he's looking around and I don't know. Not really sure. And then he goes,
"Yeah, not sure if he buys it."
That's right. And he goes, And then John says, listen, I got a gun. You should get across the street. And I've never heard this before until paying attention now. What does Zeus say? They got 10 guns.
They got 10 guns, yeah.
And then John says, you should get across the street. And Zeus goes, look, start acting crazy, all right? What? Like Looney Tunes, you know, like Bellevue. So I'm assuming you're familiar with both of those terms. What is Looney Tunes?
Well, Looney Tunes is, well, the cartoons, I guess, really. The Warner Brothers cartoons, which are obviously a bit crazy. And that's the idea there. We'll talk about Bellevue later.
Well, we'll get to Bellevue after first. Right. So, okay. So what do you know about Looney Tunes?
Well, it's all Daffy the company. I used to watch them all the time as a kid. They're brilliant. It's the group of comedy characters, animated comedy characters in the cartoons. Right.
Okay, so it started in the company started in 1930. Wow. Have a lot of famous cartoon characters that we all know from there. So obviously the most popular Looney Tunes character is Bugs Bunny. Then we have Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Sylvester the Cat, Tweety, Mary, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner, Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam, Foghorn Leghorn, Marvin the Martian, Tasmanian Devil, Pepe Le Pew, and my favorite, Speedy Gonzales.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
The fastest mouse in all of Mexico.
Oh, I forget. He's one of the Looney Tunes, yeah. Awesome.
Arriba, arriba, arriba.
Oh, God, yeah. I used to watch them all the time. It used to be like a British show that would show like compilations of the shorts. I think it was every weekend or something. I'm pretty sure it was presented by Tony Robinson. I think I seem to remember who's best known for being Baldrick in the Blackadder TV series. I'm pretty sure he used to present the Looney Tunes cartoon show in the mornings in like the 80s. But I don't know. I might be wrong. My memory might have. It's been a while, but I seem to remember him presenting them.
Right, that I couldn't tell you because I never watched Looney Tunes shows in England. No, and they also had a whole bunch of shorts in the 40s that were known as Merry Melodies, and you know the idea was is that you know the Merry Melodies were more you know singing. Cartoons, but there were shorts that they put in front of movies or at the end of movies and things like that. So you know, people would go to the theater and you can see all these characters and stuff like that. So basically, Looney Tunes is also a phrase for a crazy person. So that's what our good friend Zeus is suggesting. Just pretend you're crazy. What it comes down to. And then he says Bellevue. So do you know what Bellevue is?
I just assume it's a I don't know what the appropriate term is to call them these days, but like the mental hospital, I guess, in New York, I presume. It rings a bell, but I'm not sure.
Right. So it is a mental hospital in New York City, and it is the oldest public hospital in the entire United States.
Oh, wow.
It's also one of the largest hospitals in the U.S. by the number of beds. So, you know, it's mostly associated with treatment of people who are mentally ill. And therefore it became a slang term for psychiatric hospitals.
Okay.
But nowadays they do much more than just that. It's a regular hospital. They have a 25-story patient care facility and they have a staff of 1,200 physicians and, you know, and because it's a public hospital, so it is also known as a safety net hospital, which means that it doesn't matter if you have insurance or not. They're willing to treat you. And they generally handle, on average, 500,000 patients every year. It's a very well-known mental hospital in New York. Most movies use it often. They talk about Bellevue. And stuff like that. You heard a lot also in like Law and Order and stuff like that. You know, you got to take the person to be checked out in Bellevue and all that stuff.
It's definitely come up in some other films, I think. Oh, well, whilst we were talking, I must admit I was doing some research and I did discover the program I was talking about because it was bothering me. But yeah, he used to present a program called Stay Tuned, And it wasn't just Looney Tunes by the looks of things. I think Tony Robinson kind of he it was a compilation of lots of cartoons, but I think he's played a lot of Looney Tunes ones. And but he discusses them in detail and kind of talks about the history and the studios and things. It's not just kind of an excuse to show loads of cartoons. He kind of added a bit more depth to it. But I think when I was a kid, I probably didn't appreciate those bits and wanted him to shut up. But I do remember them. So yeah.
It makes sense.
But yeah, I thought I'd throw that in there.
That's great. That's great. So basically, at this point, we have 7 or 8 gang members that have now surrounded John and Zeus. And one of them goes, "Hey, Zeus, this a friend of yours?" And Zeus responds, "Look like a friend of mine." And he goes, "I think the dude just escaped from some hospital, you know, like Bellevue." And like he sort of like winks a little bit to John, like what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And as he's doing it, one of them pulls out a switchblade and opens it. And then John starts babbling. He goes, "I am the voice of my own God. And my God did. I told the librarian that I had a bad headache, but she didn't believe me. I really do have a bad headache, though. I have a very bad headache. And my head does not feel." And then one of them just screams at him and goes, "Oh, shut the fuck up." And then, like, a few of them all start saying things. One of them goes, "Who in the fuck?" He goes, "You've made a very bad mistake. Kick his ass. Put it through his head. Bust his head." And, I mean, they start getting, they're a little playful at first, because, like, the guy who has the switchblade throws the knife at the sandwich board.
I love that moment. I was trying to figure out how they did it. I was thinking it could be a clever cut, because the camera pans so quickly, you could quite easily stick a cut in there. So, or they could have CGI'd a bit of it, or I don't know, or he threw it away somewhere, and then the camera moves to the knife already being in the board. But I was just trying to figure it out. It's there are a few different ways of doing that, but it's a nice little move anyway. It's quite a it kind of brings in the threat properly brings in the threat rather than just them being pissed off.
Yeah, I mean, because you don't, and I mean, it's pretty interesting that he's able to throw the knife and it'll stick the way that he does. Yeah. And, you know, at this point, things start getting a little bit more dangerous, I guess. Because one of them just like punches John in the head or in the face by the whole thing. You know, they don't really care about it. So now I looked up every one of these gang members on IMDb to see if any of them have done anything significant beyond this. And the answer is no. He's gang member number 7, whose name is Andre Ware, if I remember correctly. And he also does voice work in animation. And there were 3 Avenger movies where he – or animated movies where he played the – he did the voice of Nick Fury, which I think is really funny.
Oh, cool.
That he's now in a scene with
Nick Fury. Yeah, he's in a scene with him.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But yeah, none of them have anything significant in the future for them, I guess you can say. They continue, you know, after the guy, you know, punches John, and then another one takes a basketball and throws the basketball at John's head, you know, and then the guy who threw the knife takes the knife out of the sandwich board, and you know, he begins to like seem to threaten John by the way that he's doing things. And you hear all the taunts from behind him. You know, someone cut the shit out. Fellas. And someone goes, "Nature boy here hates now, what are we going to do about that?" And someone goes, "Fight him. Yo, hold up. The whole idea here is that, you know, as they're doing this, so the leader cuts the rope, I guess you can say, of the sandwich board so that John actually... it falls down around him. So I mean, I like the way that they do that. It doesn't seem very practical, but it looks good the way that it's being done.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not
I think it's so they can get rid of the board and actually more CGI.
to save money from having to pay for more.
But it does make sense as well, though, because obviously that's the source of what's pissed them off. So, yeah, they don't really want people seeing that sign, obviously. So it does make sense.
Yeah. And then, one of them takes a basketball and throws the basketball at John's head.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, they're being very dismissive and violent of John as this is all going on. And they seem to be, like, fighting among themselves a little bit also. You know, not 100%. The one that goes, fight him. Yo, yo, yo. Hold up. So, you know, we situation like this, you know, Zeus is showing up and trying to help out. You know, we don't completely understand his motives yet. We'll get to that, you know, in a few weeks or a few months when he actually talks about it. But, you know, it works well. I like the way that they present it that way. And that's all I have for this minute. Did you have anything else for this minute, David?
No, not really. I think we kind of covered the bits that I thought. Oh, no, I was going to mention there's a nice the nice shot right near the start. I'm just trying to find the minute. I've lost it now. Yeah, it seems fairly simple, but it's nice to report. It's when the groups start coming over and Samuel Jackson steps off to the side, there's a nice little focus pull. Samuel Jackson just steps out of shot, leaves room for the guys to come in, and it's kind of like they're taking over. It's just a nice little, a nice little focus pull move to keep it in one shot rather than just doing basic simple cuts. I just wanted to bring that up.
It works. No, it works. I like how they do that. It's just like take him out of the frame, and then but you don't move the camera. You know, by doing that, so that seems to work. All right, so the script continues. We don't have much in today. Actually, we have a lot more in today's than we have a lot more in today's episode than we did yesterday's, where John starts explaining the situation to him, and he goes, you know, an hour ago, someone bombed Bloom. Yeah, I heard that on the news. Whether Zeus believes in McLean or not, it's too late now. The gang members start across the street. I have a gun. Where? Never mind. You pull a gun, they'll kill you. Listen, you're obviously not crazy, but I want you to act it like Looney Tunes, okay? McLean nods, acknowledging this. The gang members are upon them. They circle around McLean, staring at the sandwich board. They are amused. They smile after an ice-cold pause. First gang member says, hey, Zeus, this is a friend of yours. Huh? You a friend of his? McLean looks gang member number one straight in the eye, his demeanor suddenly changing. McLean's eyes have become those of a lunatic. My only friend is God. The gang members look at each other. Some laugh. Gang member one comes up close to McLean, looks at McLean's sandwich board. God, huh? Does your God hate me? So it pulls a switchblade from his pocket. He better, Deuce. You're going to need this. Over his shoulder, let's f*** this guy up. Zeus then says, this guy's crazy. Look at him. Staying out here in his underwear. He doesn't know what he's doing. He probably doesn't know where he is. Some mental ward escapee. Gang member two steps forward, stares at McLean. Then he turns to Zeus. So he's crazy. So are we. The other gang members laugh. Back off. Zeus stays put, doesn't budge. The gang members crowding around McLean. Gang member one brandishes the knife under McLean's nose, motions to the sandwich board. Get that off him. Two gang members lift the back face of the sandwich board roughly over McLean's shoulders and fling it to the ground. The board clatters to the ground. We'll have to see what happens tomorrow with that one. Every Tuesday we have a segment called Trilogy Tuesday, where my guests will give their top five trilogy movies. You know, I've left it a little bit open to interpretation as to what is really a trilogy, but I can't wait to hear what you have to tell us about this, Dave.
Well, there are so many to go for. I made myself narrow it down because there's so many ideas. I've stuck to trilogies that have stayed trilogies, because there were some things like Star Wars and things like that were attempted to put in, but because they branched out, I thought no. I'm going to stick to films where there are three and only three. But even then, I kind of, loads of cool ideas kept coming to me. But yeah, I might throw in some honorable mentions at the end. But yeah, but my top five, I'm going to go with number five. I am going to go with the Back to the Future trilogy. I think the films flow into each other so nicely. They're all decent. The third one's not quite as good as the other two. And the second, and they're regurgitating some of the kind of set pieces, but still overall they're so enjoyable, they're so clever, and they work so nicely together as a trilogy that it had to be on my list, really. And plus the first film is just perfection. I adore the first Back to the Future film. So yeah, that's been there. Next I'm gonna go with the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I enjoy these a lot. And again, really consistent. I've gone with kind of consistent trilogies for my top five. Just all great, solid, epic kind of fantasy, adventure, entertainment that I always get swept up in, even though they go on for 7 billion hours. I just, yeah, it's, I don't care. People moan about the third film having too many endings, but I think it justifies it because it's such an epic journey. It needs an epic finale. And I love the whole thing. There's a couple of bits in the second film that make me cringe, but overall it's just perfect for me. I love it. And then so the top three, and my third for me is the Vengeance trilogy. So Park Chan-wook's Vengeance trilogy. These are just three incredible films. They look incredible. They're intriguing, they're dark, they're different, they're blackly comic at times, they're really nasty at times. They're just three incredible films. That are just, yeah. What's interesting about this trilogy, it's one where I've seen all the films a few times each, and my order changes all the time.
Oh, wow.
They're all so good. Like, originally Simply for Mr. Vengeance used to be my favorite, the first one, and then I kind of I watched some of them again and I thought, actually no, I think Old Boy's a bit better. And then I recently, well, not recently, it was a couple of years ago now, but I reviewed the whole trilogy for the website, and on that most recent watch, actually I think Lady Vengeance is probably my favorite, and I just, all three, just incredible. So yeah, that's up there. And number two, I'm gonna go with the Apu trilogy. So Satyajit Ray, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think it's Satyajit Ray. His story of Apu over the years. The first film is just absolutely incredible, and it doesn't really get, it doesn't, it stays at that level throughout. It's a fantastic set of films. Yes, I'm going to try and remember the. I'm so bad at pronouncing these, but yeah, it's basically Pala Panchali is the first, and then I'm trying to get the order of them now. My brain. Aparajito is the second.
Unfortunately, I can't help you here on this one. never heard of it. Never heard of anything.
Never heard of them. Are you joking me? No, these you have to watch them. Actually, the first one. Yeah, as I say, Paolo Panchali is the first one, and it's all about a young boy kind of growing up very poor in India, and kind of he's got a very tough life. But the film's very beautiful; it's very humane. And then the sequel, Aparajito, it's about him growing up. He's going to school. He's kind of learning more about the world. And then the third film is The World of Apu. This is him when he's kind of grown up, and discovering even more about life and how things work, and they're just absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful films that yeah, everyone must see. So that had to be up there. But number one, just because I love them so much, it has to be the Dollar trilogy. The Fistful of Dollars, For a Few Dollars More, The Good, the Bad and the Ugly. I'm a big Western fan. I love Clint Eastwood. Sergio Leone is one of my favorite directors. He directed my favorite film of all time, Once Upon a Time in the West. And the Dollars trilogy is just, again, I keep saying perfection. There's so many of these, but it's just amazing. They're so cool. They're cleverly written. They look incredible. The cast are perfect. And I could watch these films any day of the week. I would never, ever have a problem with putting these on. It had to be my number one. I'll have to throw in some quick honorable mentions would be the Coca trilogy, the Godfather trilogy. I know the third one's a bit not as good as the others, but I still think it's good enough to keep the trilogy solid as a whole. The Sinbad trilogy, because I love Ray Harryhausen. The Daimajin trilogy, because, it's so much fun. And the Ninja trilogy, which is a bit rubbish at times, but so much fun. So yeah, I had to throw those extra five in there.
Oh wow. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for that. So, David, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, if you check me out at blueprintreview.co.uk, and yeah, you can find all my reviews on there and also details of our Blueprint Review podcast.
All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, and you can find me on my website, moverobminute.com. You can also, if you're interested, send me an email to moverobminute@moverob.net. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again, hurrah, hurrah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then, hurrah, hurrah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies, they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.